Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Hello, I'm Ian Stone, and welcome to Taking the Pulse, our weekly political podcast where me, Aisha Hazarika, and Jeff Norcott, two of the finest political brains we could find who had nothing better to do at 10:30 on a Friday morning, dissect the political events of the week for your delectation. This week, Jeff Norcott phoned me and said, and I quote, can we talk about Philip Hammond's autumn statement? And instead of hanging up the phone and trying to find a less nerdy friend, I said yes. So, you want to talk about Philip Hammond's autumn statement?
Well, I did before I read it. I mean, as a Leave voter, because what happened was earlier in the week, there was some quite benevolent economic indications, weren't there? That October had had record tax receipts, that inflation was actually down, unemployment was down. So I did quite a bullish Facebook post.
I saw that. Yeah. I saw his bullish Facebook post.
Alluding to this in my sort of like deliberately winding up Remainers, but trying to do it in and couching it in quite passive language. The following day.
He did come out and say all this. It was a little bit grim, wasn't it?
Based on the OBR. I mean, their track record. I mean, they are like the Martin Keown of pundits, aren't they? There's how many times they got to get stuff wrong before we start taking it with a pinch of salt.
Do you know who Martin Keown is?
I've absolutely no idea.
He's a shit defender and he's a shit pundit.
Fabulous defender and one of the scariest men I've ever been in a room with. He was an Arsenal defender and he was very good. But as a pundit, well, do you know what? Explaining.
Yeah, I'm feeling that this analogy is slightly kind of cutting out a certain demographic.
But is it not fair, like the OBR haven't had the best track record? So, and even in their forecast, they basically said, look, we're pissing in the wind.
I think the idea of pinning this all on the OBR is absolutely ridiculous. Quite frankly, the figures have shown that we are absolutely fucked by Brexit.
No, come on. Fucked. That 15 billion Jeff. Quid a year. 15 billion quid a year. That I've worked it out. That's about 2.5% of government. It sounds bad, but look.
It sounds bad.
It's the price of freedom, okay?
Oh, is it? It's
worth
it. Brilliant.
Freedom isn't free.
Poverty pay for everyone. Hang on a minute.
Right, first of all, the OBR, for people who are listening who might not know, is the Office of Budget Responsibility.
Budget Robacks, more like.
Right. And there was also a report from the IFS, the Institute of Fiscal Studies.
Yeah.
Yeah. Do you think they get competitive?
Who can be the gloomiest?
Well, I don't know.
We're fucked. No, we're mega fucked.
Well, we do look from my point of view.
Are we now in this post fact? Like, what do these experts know? What does the Institute of Fiscal Studies know?
That's what people were saying for a long time.
I mean, come on. Look, the truth is right.
The truth is, Jeff, this
Brexit campaign was won with a massive bust that said there was going to be like a shitload of money going to the NHS, and we've just had an autumn statement. The NHS is in the biggest financial crisis ever faced. Not a bean.
Where's our
NHS.
Money, Jeff?
Right.
Where is it, Jeff?
First up, there were lies on both sides. We were also
told
by those virtuous Remainers that the Leave vote itself, just the vote, not
Jeff,
triggering
that
Article
is all
50.
In the past. You won. Where's the money?
The Leave vote itself would trigger the economy would fall. You should see these guys folding their arms at me and staring at the moment now. It's difficult being a Leaver in Britain. But we were told that would cause an immediate recession, and frankly, it hasn't happened. And
the recession is coming down the track.
But with this six-month period, they were wrong once, they might be wrong again. And the British consumer, this is like our Dunkirk. We are holding up our spirit of buying pointless shit we don't need. We're still buying flat-screen TVs. We're still getting pissed. We would just keep your nerve, Britain. It's 1941 all over. We'll get through this.
Well, everyone is buying flat-screen TVs today, aren't they? Because it is Black Friday.
Except everyone's saying it's a really damp squib because, like, it's the A, no one's going to the shops, people are buying it online, and also people's family finances are in such dire straits they're not actually going to be spending
much. Yeah, Jeff. I mean, do you not think...
Do you look around this country and see people on there? I mean, I know at the very lowest end, we should always be helping those people. Have you tried to get in a shopping centre at the weekend recently? The country's bouncing.
No, no, you know what? I've had to let one of my children go. I mean, it's just, you know, I had to let one... I mean, I got two of them and there was one that I liked least. I went, sorry, it's just, you know, there's a hole in the public finances.
It'll be fine.
And we all have
there's
to make
There's a lot of work out there. 0 hours contracts as children.
Yeah, it's all really good. Chimneys,
chimneys
do need sweeping.
Do you think when these people make these forecasts and they said it's going to be, whatever, an £80 billion hole in the economy and there's a £90 billion hole in the economy, do you think that, because nobody ever holds them to account, do you think they should have to make up the difference? Do you not think? Would it not make them make
like
it a little
sinking
bit,
fund?
Well,
sort of thing,
I think so. Make them more, you know, focused
make
in
it
terms
performance
of their
related. Well, I mean, you know, there just have been, and I know that Michael Gove obviously got pilloried, and he'll be remembered forever for saying that we've had enough of experts. But there's certainly a case to be made that there have been repeated failures by the institutes that are supposed to be knowing what's. That's their job, is to know what's going to happen next. And be fair to them, they pretty much admitted that they're pissing in the wind on this one.
The truth is, the politicians have got to grapple with some really big things. The statistic that came out that I thought that was the most worrying was that they were saying that, like, wages, average wages, are not going to see an increase to pre-crash levels until about another 10.
It's a bit of a red herring to compare them to pre-crash levels, which were underwritten by the kind of borrowing that caused the crash itself. I think that... I don't know why that's used. Like, they're using the earnings in the early noughties as a guide, but that was when we all had credit cards,
125%. They're using them from 2007.
All I will say is at this point is that the earnings for this podcast will not get any bigger for the next 10 years. Okay?
Nor will the audience's problem.
But there is. But do you not think that?
Don't say that. We've got to cut that bit. It's just, what? Look, do you not think Philip Hammond would have been better if he just stood up and said, "Winter is coming"? Do you not think that would have worked better?
Well, he pretty much did.
He
basically said, this is so bad, I'm cancelling the autumn statement.
I think him and Theresa May are very, very, very smart. They're happy to go with the gloomiest predictions because that sets
not according to the Daily Mail. They were quite sort of upbeat about the whole thing.
Well, of course they were. The Express said it's fine.
The Guardian didn't like it at all, though, strangely.
Well, the Express, the really pro-Leaver papers this morning were going, yeah, but in 2019, we're going to get a few quid back from the EU. So,
yeah, you know, thumbs. Everyone's going to literally have to work four jobs.
Anyone know what the Labour response was? Any idea?
They were tweeting, weren't they? John McDonnell said they're all tweeting while he was talking.
Yeah, no, a lot of them were on their phone playing whatever Pokemon.
But to be fair to the Labour Party, which is in a pretty dire state, but people like Chris Leslie, who are very, very respected, the interesting thing for the Labour Party is that the Conservatives have abandoned what was a really precious fiscal rule. They said they were going to get the economy back into surplus
Osborne-omics.
By 2019. That was like a really massive key plank of their, you know, long-term economic plan. But hang on. So the fact that they have now, remember, for the last 6 years, we've heard nothing from the Conservatives apart from we've got to get the deficit down. That is the only
austerity.
Thing that matters. Mm-hmm. You cannot borrow. It has to be austerity. Now they've ripped all of that up and said, do you know what? We're going to have abandoned that target.
Higher
and actually,
taxes, higher
it's fine to borrow. So if you're
we got rid of austerity. Surely you lefties are never happy. Surely this is happy times. The TTIP's gone as well, the trade thing.
I'm not unhappy about that, by the way.
TTIP was not coming down the track for ages. That's kind of immaterial into all the discussions. The key people you've got to think about are all those people who are so poor, they're working on a 0 hours contract and they still have to go to a food bank. Their lives are going to get tougher.
Oh, she said food. I can't come back from that. Once a lefty throws food banks in there, that's the point where I just tap out and go, yes, no, it is.
And
very...
do you know what? Fair enough. Because I listened to Question Time last night.
Why did you do that?
Well, you know what? It was incredibly dull. And when I tell you that the most interesting thing on it was Tim Farron, that tells you how
was he the only guest?
Yeah, it was just a bit dull. I mean, it is a bit of a dry subject, I think. The autumn statement. We're not going to have any. This is the last autumn statement.
They're
not going
to move.
They can't afford it.
They've run out of things to say about autumn.
They're going to do a spring statement to make it a bit more cheerful.
Right. Right. But it was only a forecast. That was the point.
The pound might recover, and the pound has already staged a steady recovery against that flash crash level. Who's to say it won't recover further? Most people, arguably. But if it does, recover
experts.
Further, I mean, it's back up to what €1.18, which it was down to about 1.09.
Can we go on holiday again?
Supersize your paella, Ian, because the good times are back.
Yeah, everyone's doing jazz hands. The people in the food banks are doing a massive jazz hands.
Get yourself to Alicante. Everyone have a... Let's just have a holiday as a country. I think that, you know, if that recovery does continue, then it will militate some of the worst factors of the inflation pressures, at least.
Now, here at Taking the Pulse, we like to bring you the latest from Trump land, where the idiot-elect has this week suggested, somewhat mischievously, I think, that Nigel Farage would make an excellent British ambassador to the United States, because no two words say diplomacy quite like Nigel Farage.
yeah, because when he was standing up at the EU saying, "You're not laughing now, are you?" I was thinking, that's the guy we need on the world stage. I mean, look, I voted to leave the EU. I don't necessarily want that man representing us abroad. I do think with Trump is... It was funny that once he got rebuffed, that he didn't say anything more on the issue. And that smacks of me, two blokes drunk, mate, I'll get you in. Don't worry about that. I'll get you in. Tomorrow I'll say, and then he sends a tweet and he goes, "Look, mate, I tried. I had a word. It's beyond my pay grade." It's not beyond your pay grade. You're the president.
You're the president.
Yeah.
You could do whatever you want. But one, we have a British ambassador to the United States already.
Perfectly good.
The truth is that it's Theresa May who will choose who Britain's ambassador is going to be, not...
There is precedent for this. The American president, one of the American presidents in the past, has spoken to our prime minister and said, "I'd like that bloke."
You can definitely have conversations, but it is still ultimately for the British government to decide who is their ambassador. But the thing was unbelievable. It's very unprecedented, like for a US president elect to wade into sort of British ambassadorial affairs. But the main thing is, it's all the result of that ridiculous selfie in the lift. That selfie in the lift has probably broken the internet more than when Kim Kardashian put a glass of champagne on her backside. Yeah. I mean, never.
I know
has
which
a...
is more aesthetically pleasing, to be honest.
I want to see Nigel Farage put some champagne on his backside.
Or Donald Trump's.
It is funny how outraged we are that the idea, what, the president, tell us which ambassador to have, and then you think back a few years, invade Iraq. Yeah, go on. Yeah, fine.
Go on. Okay.
I think that
we'll
the idea.
We'll get to that in a bit, actually. We're going to talk about
I mean, look, clearly Farage has an in with this guy. And
well, that's not a bad thing for an ambassador to have, is it? I mean, why not? It would make
things
easier.
He's the only guy on the planet Farage does have an in with. That's the problem. He's
Farage
the only
has
guy that
has an in with any number of right-wing think tanks and billionaire financiers. We saw him in the Ritz the other day celebrating, didn't we?
I mean, by the way, I love that, the march against the elites. That's what this was. And he's like,
you know,
I'm
what? Can I just say at this point, because I've heard a lot of this stuff saying, "Oh, look, this man of the people in a gold elevator, and look, it's a man of the people with a billionaire financier." Whatever the case, Nigel Farage does seem to have the ear of the British people. Otherwise, he wouldn't have got as far as he did.
Yeah, absolutely. He certainly does, because he's preyed on a lot of people's insecurity using the oldest trick in the book, blame the other, fear of the other. And that is a compelling argument.
Yeah, it seems to have worked.
It does. It really has. And it actually has worked in history before. I don't know if you remembered. Like, fear of the other is quite a powerful argument.
Oh, you're talking about Hitler, are you? Oh, no, the Jews have let that one go. Should we not just make Farage king? Just get it over with?
Well, you seem to be... I think we've changed roles here. I think you're making quite a reasonable case for Farage.
I genuinely...
You want to marry him.
Love... He's an attractive man, don't you think?
Have you not seen
enough pictures of Farage with Ferrero Rocher to last you a lifetime?
Oh my God, those pictures were absolutely...
Enough already. No, I don't love Farage. I just...
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
I just can see that whatever he said has worked. You're absolutely right. It's appalling what he said, but I don't think you can. I don't think you can accuse him of not being a man of the people.
It definitely has worked, right? But the idea that just because somebody can go out and kind of like banter with people and sort of say, God, like, isn't everything terrible? Look at that person with funny looking skin. He's the root of all your problems. Everyone's like, yeah, you're so... That doesn't mean you should be our ambassador.
No,
I think it's dangerous. It's dangerous to ridicule him in the same way it was with Trump. Philip Hammond was on ITV Morning News, and he said, "Oh, we'll give him a call if we need him, and don't hold your breath, Nigel. I don't bait this man. He's obviously, for whatever reason, you're right. Some of it is quite venal and dishonest, but he's an effective communicator. And don't rattle his cage, because that's what happened with Trump. The more people seem to ridicule him, the more that motivated him.
Yeah,
I agree with that, and a lot of what that is about establishment politicians being scared to talk about certain things, immigration number one issue.
And that's both why we're in the position we're in.
Both Conservative Party, I mean, the Liberal Democrats don't even want to get involved in this, but particularly Labour as well, did not want to talk about this subject. So nature abhors a vacuum into which Nigel Farage comes in and, you know,
talks
about it. And people are thinking, well, at least someone is talking about it. So I think you can definitely, I think to sort of say, don't bait this man, gives him, you can't give him a protected status as a public figure and a political figure saying, never criticise him. But what politicians have got to do is get better at talking to people. They've got to do more in terms of connecting with people, as Nigel Farage and Trump did. They've got to like really understand what their concerns are.
Yeah, what about Danny Dyer? He'd be a good ambassador, don't you think? He's connected to royalty, we found out last night.
Twitter was going mad about that.
Yes, of course. Yeah, Danny Dyer is actually he's
aristocracy. I think they should have renamed it, Who Do You Think You Are, You Slag?
You wanted to talk, Aisha, about Theresa May, because she sent out an email, apparently.
Not an email. She sent a memo. So a big problem for women in all walks of life, be it politics, business, media, is a phenomenon called mansplaining. You probably aren't familiar with this because you are both man. You are men.
Mans.
Mans. So what that happens is you're in a meeting and like you make it. So it's like you get things explained to you in a really patronising sort of way. So apparently Theresa May, even though she is absolutely top dog in government, has had...
Can't call her that.
All right. Yes, you can.
Sexist.
You can. I can. You can. I can.
I see what you did there.
That, when you say it's cultural inappropriation, when I say it, it's really empowering.
All right.
So she is like the Prime Minister now. Yet
Queen
still,
bitch.
That is not okay.
No, that's not okay. Okay, so this is my favourite
Queen
Bowie.
Bee.
It's my favourite Bowie song.
See, whenever
anyway,
these kind of subjects come up, the desire to be contrarian and cheeky is only being a dig. I'm sorry.
You're men.
Do you know what, Aisha, when you mentioned this in the other room and you said, oh, you know, we talk about Theresa May and the mansplaining thing, I actually said, you know, Aisha, that's a really good idea. I actually said it straight back to you, and then I was conscious, and you didn't pull me up on it, but I hope mentally you gave me a slap across the face.
Oh, I've happy slapped you. Like,
I think
lot.
When he patted you on the head, I thought that was
Yeah, I know it's a good idea, motherfucker. That's why I wrote an article.
Now I'm being mansplained to about my story, which is brilliant.
Anyway.
So she has been hugely...
Because men, see, could explain this much quicker, couldn't
obviously.
So what happened?
So she has been patronised by many of her male civil servants and colleagues, and a memo has now gone round at Whitehall saying, do not patronise the Prime Minister. And the
reason outrageous,
why...
isn't it, really? But these are men of a certain age, not young fellas like us.
Young.
Why are you laughing? Why are you laughing at this point? There's nothing funny about this. I'm down with the kids, all right? I was in Shoreditch the other day. I've got beard and everything. Bought some cereal for £8.
With some soy milk.
No, of course not.
Do you know what? I'd love to be at the following meeting after that memo and watching these fellas overcorrect as they try desperately walking on eggshells around everything.
Do you know what? I just love the idea of you talking about the Tory cabinet as fellas.
Yeah.
That sounds weird.
But I just imagine her like being like, so the person I imagine is the worst in terms of the mansplaining is Boris. I bet you in cabinet, because Boris is probably sitting there thinking,
he does it in Latin.
Exactly. He does it in Latin, sort of thinking, yeah, that is. And then the other thing that made me laugh is that there's this, Sweden, the biggest union in Sweden, have set up a hotline for women to report in people doing mansplaining.
A hotline.
You can report mansplaining.
You can report mansplaining. Wow. And I just thought, imagine Theresa May ringing up that hotline.
She didn't call it mansplaining. I never thought that Theresa May would, but that's what it is.
Did Thatcher get it? Thatcher probably didn't
but
get
maybe
it.
Maybe that's why she became who she was in a way, because that is the character she needed to adopt at that time to pull these guys.
Yeah.
And it turns out you still need to adopt that character now in 2016, which is a bit much.
But loads
really.
Of people still don't think it's a problem. I debated Anne Widdecombe on this. I did a thing on Radio 4 with her.
She doesn't think it's a problem.
She was going, gosh, you know, women are just so thin-skinned and they're just going on about inequality and all that sort of thing. And there's quite a generational gap on all of this stuff as well. But I think good on Theresa May for doing it. I can just imagine her being kind of mansplained to, like, the Autumn Statement. It's nothing to do with Amanda Weekly. It's nothing to do with her winter collection, Prime Minister.
Nothing to do with the lovely colours of the leaves, Prime Minister, just so you know, although they are lovely. And if you want to go for a walk, that's fine.
And you know, she'll probably be like, so tell me, what are the latest moves, you know, by the Chancellor in terms of the Autumn Statement? They'd be like, well, his cha-cha-cha on Strictly on Saturday was to die for.
I think mansplaining, right, and it is women's fault in a way, because it is, but I just remember...
I'm looking forward to seeing you digging yourself out of this one.
I remember when I was a kid, right, and because mothers are nurturing generally, right, it's not all mothers, but generally nurturing, positive, supported, I would come home from school and I would say to my mum, today I found out about something called the dinosaurs, and she would act like she didn't know what dinosaurs were. So she'd go, oh, really? What are dinosaurs? And I'd be like, all right, I guess I'm going to have to break this down for you. So maybe that lodged in my brain was like, all right, you know, this bit worrying really. I was supposed to be my legal guardian, but I guess I'm going to have to disseminate information for you on an ongoing basis. Stick around, love. Next week, World War One. But
You were patronising your mum at like the age of
no,
four.
No, because I was too dumb. Yeah. You know, right, this is my answer though. And this is honestly, the best way to get this out of men is to beat it out of them earlier. So if your six-year-old son starts saying, mum, do you know what the dinosaurs are? Yeah, of course I fucking know what dinosaurs are. I don't make the mistake of thinking just because I make your packed lunch that I haven't been out in the world. I've got a degree, bitch, all right? Get your dad in here. Just because men, when they've been told off young, they never forget that.
Jeff is quite a new parent. I'm very much looking forward to meeting
turns out
his children.
I'm a radical feminist. Get in there early.
You should be like, you know, you should go. Yeah. I think the Women in Equality Party are having their conference tomorrow. I think you should get up there.
Yeah, I'll tell them what's what.
You just want a corporate gig from them, don't you? That's what it is.
Do you know what? It actually did run through my
of course it did.
My cynical
those
mind.
Those women have got some money as well. You might as well earn it. Yeah. Now, I did say the other big political story of the week is the possible return to frontline politics of one Tony Blair. And for a man who's so enthusiastic...
He's the insurgent now,
well,
apparently.
I mean, for a man who's so enthusiastically supported the Iraq War frontline, I think is the operative word. Aisha, you know Tony Blair, don't you?
I've worked for Tony Blair.
Is he off his head?
Well, I haven't seen him in a while. I am surprised.
Was he
this.
Off his head?
No, he definitely was not off his head. He was absolutely one of the like most amazing people I've ever worked for. Amazing.
I remember
man.
you watching him in do a speech at conference and eulogising, you know. And I'm listening.
He was a great communicator.
He was a good communicator.
Excuse me. He won three elections, even after the Iraq War. He won an election.
Well, don't remind Labour voters of that. They've
yeah, I know. I'm
going to
be like.
I think that's where some of the hostility to Blair from Labour voters comes from. Is I think they feel dirty and unclean because they knew that they were so averse to voting for the Tories after the Iraq War that they still voted for a Labour Party led by Tony Blair, who led an illegal invasion. Because sometimes it's a bit like, not on the same level, but that antipathy people feel for Clegg, it wasn't quite rational, was it? And the hostility to Blair.
No, I felt that. It seemed a bit ridiculous with Nick Clegg. It really did.
I think that
so
person occupies a space in the public psyche, and Nick Clegg occupied the space of a weasel, and Tony Blair occupies a space of, I don't know,
a
wolf in sheep's clothing, I suppose.
Yeah, I guess.
But
he is a compelling bloke, though. But
also,
can he possibly help any cause he gets on side with? I mean, you'd imagine that people who are anti-Brexit and want us to have another vote do not want Tony
want to
Blair
be associated
at all.
With. No, he's toxic.
He's toxic.
What kind of insurgency is this? Him and Eddie Izzard. Let me find rocket-propelled croissants
Eddie
at the
Izzard.
Northeast of England.
I still blame Eddie Izzard and that ridiculous.
I think Eddie
beret.
Izzard. Yeah.
The planet needs a hug, guys.
Do you know what? I think he made us all feel sorry for Nigel Farage.
I actually voted Leave off the back of that question time confession. No, I mean
history will judge him harshly.
But the thing that Blair was always very good at, apart from Iraq, obviously, was having.
Yeah, that's what everyone has to say. Obviously, Iraq.
Had a very good feel for where the public were on things. he was a bit of a man of the people in the sense that he was a very, very good... I remember working with him on the 2005 election campaign and, you know, people were raging about loads of things. And we went to this really quite tough estate and there was loads of crime and disorder and all that sort
Love
of thing.
The idea of Tony Blair on a really tough estate.
I know.
Well, it was. It was an election campaign. You have to go to these places.
And so what happened?
And so we go in. Everyone is absolutely, like, rabid before the meeting. We're going to give him, what, four? The Sky news presenters are winding everyone up, going, like, you know, throw fruit at him, really... Walks in, they do start shouting at him at the beginning. He completely kind of handles this crowd immediately, amazingly. And by the end of it, people are queuing up to shake his hand going, yeah, you're a really decent bloke. Yeah, you've totally got my vote. The guy has got an incredible ability to communicate.
He couldn't do it now, though.
Well,
could he?
This is the thing that I'm surprised about with him, because I think he is obviously has been in such a bubble of this kind of world of private jets and flying around the world. He's lost touch with how people see him.
That was sort of the point of my question, really. And is he off his head now?
Well, I think his analogy as well. He's always had a good knack for an analogy, but he used one of saying, well, Brexit is like, it's like entering into a house swap, but you haven't seen the other house. And house swaps only occur when you're a council tenant. I'm not being funny, Tone, but I don't think you and Sherry are on the waiting list for a two-bedroom in Upminster. I'm not buying it. I think that in a way it's a blessing to the Leave campaign. One thing that Blair said that I found really interesting was that he said that that in 2005, when they incorporated the Lisbon Treaty, he wouldn't have held a referendum then because he felt like he'd have lost. And then they went back on historical polling for leaving the EU right back to 1996. And there's always been quite high support for leaving it. Yeah. I don't know if people are aware of that. The idea that wanting to leave the EU was something that just emerged in the last few years. It actually predates UKIP itself. I think UKIP stood at the general election for the first time in 1997.
It's been a raging sore in the Conservative Party. Europe has been just like
and still is.
Yeah, well, it's been going for 40 years in the Conservative Party.
We're not going to have a second referendum, though, are we?
But isn't it odd that Blair said, I didn't have a referendum because I thought the British public would vote against my will. And that was just a constituent part of his views.
He said that recently.
Yeah, he said that in an interview in the New Statesman.
I don't think that's surprising. Gordon Brown didn't have that election, didn't call that election because he thought he wouldn't win it.
Isn't that one of the founding principles of democracy? That you should sort of reflect what the people
want on some level. No, do not call a referendum if you think you're going to lose.
And the reason Cameron called it is because he won the election, won the Scottish referendum, and thought, I think there's no way.
He was high on that 20 majority, wasn't he? He was high on almost losing a Scottish referendum that should have been a given.
But he won. A win's a win. You know, he was. You know, we thought we were going. Labour thought there'd be a hung parliament. Nobody predicted a Conservative majority.
I imagine we'll be talking about this for the next 25 years. This has been the Taking the Pulse podcast. Thank you to Jeff Norcott, Aisha Hazarika. I've been Ian Stone. You can find us on Twitter at Taking the Pulse. Thanks for listening.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.